Hey, what's up? This is your homegirl Complex Angel, and welcome back to another episode of Self Love Is My Rehab, where we are all tired of abuse being our addiction. I'm about to get my partner in crime, DC, on the line so we can start the show. So please tune in and love yourself. Yo, yo, DC, what's going on?
Yo, yo, what's really good?
Nothing much. Getting ready to bring the guest on. I feel like this is about to be a special topic tonight. So I'm about to unmute her right now.
All right.
Hey, Mama Gina, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, how are you?
What's going on?
All right. How y'all doing?
Good,
good.
Glad
to see you another day.
Yes. Awesome, awesome. Okay, so now we have everybody on the line. DC, you want to tell us what the vibe of the week was?
The vibe of the week is, you know, just nothing but positivity, man. Just being blessed to, you know, survive through the pandemic and, the likelihoods of everything else that we all may be going through, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've been really appreciating life, you know what I'm saying, as is. Because, I mean, you look at other people and, life could be, a lot worse or a lot better than most, you know what I'm saying? So I just been learning over the course of the day to just not really take life for granted, you know what I'm saying? Just be blessed with what I got, you know, because I've been having my moments this week, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've been feeling really down and disappointed about things, that came and left, you know what I'm saying? But I had to realize that I still had to be blessed with what was left behind. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Other than that, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Life is good, man. I can't complain too much. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm focusing on building myself up to be stronger mentally and physically, you know, because I once was that fragile individual, you know what I'm saying? So I was trying to build myself up to not be as fragile as I used to be.
Okay. That's always good, you know, rebuilding and, like you said, just being thankful for what you still have left. And plus, when things are taken away, sometimes it's probably meant for the better. But, okay, so with that being said, we'll get into the recap and then start the show. On last week's episode, we talked about reminiscing on closed chapters, and I think that me, DC and the guest that was on could say sometimes it's better to let someone go instead of trying to hold on and, change them because you fear that when they leave you, they'll go to somebody else and become that change that you wanted them to be. And we just realized, sometimes it's just best to find your own closure and stuff. Now, Mama Gina, I know that, your generation really didn't like – you guys don't really like social media. Y'all feel like it's trouble. So, like, is there anything that you, want to say about reminiscing on chapters that just need to be left behind in the past?
I think what happens in the past needs to stay in the past, especially with relationships, because when you take that baggage, to use a catchphrase, into the new one, it skews how you look at it. And that person that you're with now might not be like that. It's different.
Right.
Your thing now is everything is out there on social media. They see it. Because a lot of people put out how they feel. And we just kind of like, okay, well, I'll never have to see or hear from you ever again. Goodbye.
That's true. Us as a generation, we exposed every little bit of negativity and or positivity on social media. Like, it's crazy. But at the same time, it's beneficial because you kind of, in a sense, get to understand who that person is through their social media for the most part. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Because with social media, you have people who pretend to be something else too.
That part, yes. People can pretend to be somebody that they're not.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think that if you're pretending to be somebody that you're not, that's a red flag anyway, because you can't even be your genuine self. So, yeah. But, all right. Well, DC, I'm going to let you let them know what the Shut Me the Fuck Up topic is tonight.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the Shut Me the Fuck Up topic this evening, we are going to be talking about what happened to the village. Now, we are basically just going to be talking about what happened to It Takes a Whole Village to Raise a Child and Why It Crumbles. So this is going to be a pretty interesting topic. So I'm waiting for Mama G to drop the gems on us, let us understand what it is and what it ain't and what it will be. So I'm gonna hop into my first question. You know, we're going to jump right on into it. Do you feel like people with children pawn them off on their support system to do them as far as, like, you know, just, you know, try to live that single life? Or do you think, like, you know, sometimes they do it just to better themselves? Like, you know, if they have a job that they need to obtain, you know, they have to have, you know, to do these crazy hours and stuff like that, or, you know, with, you know, school matters or whatnot.
For me, this question took me back to my grandmother. And I'll tell you why. My grandmother had two children.
Mm-hmm.
It came out later that she was unwed. Okay. One was my father and the other was my aunt. And what she did, and she depended on what was then her village, which were her sisters and brother and her father, to help her raise them. And she wound up leaving my father with her sister and my aunt with her sister so that she could go work and make the money and come back. But they always knew that this was their mom. Sometimes I feel, and I feel like nowadays people have a tendency that, well, if you're willing to take care of them, thank you, you got it, and I'll show back up when I feel like it. So for me, it's depending on the circumstances. I know people who have done the thing for education also. You know, it was like that so that I can give my children a better life than I had.
Right.
And but they made sure that they were, I don't want to say in and out, but so that the kids knew who they were. So I think if it's done for what you feel is right, because if you're doing it to be able to be free and single, and then you, when you get older, because you're not going to always be forever young,
right?
These are usually the same people who want to come back and sit on these kids, and then they wonder why the kids have an issue.
Yeah,
because, you know, if who they're left with isn't truly caring and accepts them as just being part of the family and doesn't really make a difference, it can leave them with some serious scars.
Yes,
yeah.
That is so true. Definitely. That was the story of my childhood. The story of my childhood. Like, and, you know, my grandmother was like the village that stepped up to help, you know, take care of us. And my mama would come back into the picture, like you said, Mama Jean, like, you know, just like basically like trying to take back over. You know, I would be happy, but then when she would leave, it would affect me. So, but like you kind of answered my next question for you. So I'm going to have to kind of spin it, because on previous episode, me and DC talked about entitlement issues, and we talked about it from the perspective that, you know, parents who treat their kids like they're not anything, they still feel entitled to that love. Like, you know I messed up, but you still owe me that. Do you think that if a person steps up to be a caregiver to help someone in need, because that person may take advantage and feel entitled, like, oh, that's my mom or that's my dad, they're going to take care of, so I can go off and run, do you think that that's why a lot of people don't step up anymore to play that role because they don't want to get taken advantage of.
Probably. And because if you're a caring person and you're doing this from the goodness of your heart, and this is the way that some, because I have to go to my village. I had an aunt that she wasn't blood, but her husband and my father grew up together. And she accepted everybody. You know, if, you know, whoever you were, you could literally leave your child on her doorstep and know that she was going to take care of them like this was something, someone that she carried for 9 months and she cared for, and this was her blood. And a couple times people came back and they were like, well, this is mine and I'm taking it. And the person who she had raised didn't know how to deal with it. But she didn't let that change her. So I think it depends on who you are as an individual, as to if you accept the role as a caretaker and you're doing it out of the kindness of your heart. And like nowadays, they, you know, caretakers who aren't related, some of them who are, there's some financial remuneration to it, okay? And if you're not, you know, and if you, and if you're doing it because this is who you are and not, you know, because, oh, well, as long as I got the money, I'll take care of them. Okay, that's cool. I think it and I think that it changes people. Some people, I mean, it's a group of us, and we talk about her often. And she had six kids of her own, okay? We tend to see out of the group of us that those who were on, who weren't her blood, that there's some of us that go, nah, honey, you got to take that and find somebody else to do it. And then there's those of us who take after her and go, you know, I'm not, because you were, I don't want to say abandoned. Well, because you were abandoned, or right now this ain't the time, it's inconvenient for your parents, I'm not going to turn my back on you. You know, so I think it depends on the person.
Okay.
Yeah, and honestly, like, I feel like that it's such a messy situation, because, like you said, because, like, I wanted to make a statement as far as, like, with the whole financial part of it. Like, people will, you know, adjust themselves accordingly just to get a paycheck, and you know what I'm saying? And that shouldn't, it shouldn't be solely about that, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people will open their doors open for a paycheck, you know what I'm saying, if they got to take care of you. You know what I'm saying? And half the time, like, half the time, that people that seek caregivers, you know what I'm saying, they don't necessarily need that much attention. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like you giving them sponge baths and wiping their behinds and stuff like that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they not that disabled. But, you know, just to have them in your household, you willing to have them there just, you know, just for a paycheck. And I think that's unfair to a person, because You should just be doing that solely out of kindness, and, you know, for the simple fact of just helping somebody that can't do for themselves as much. You know.
Yeah.
But so my next question for you is, how was raising a child back in the day? And that's with or without a support group.
It was, for me, it depended on what your family was like, period. My family, I didn't know what it was like to be unblended, because I grew up in a blended family, even though we didn't make a big brouhaha about what the bloodline was. I had an uncle who married somebody who had adopted six kids from various nations. Well, they're my cousins. Okay. We look like, we had the thing when you guys were telling me about it takes a village. I literally remember going to the corner store, and if we acted up in that corner store, and my house was easily 10 houses up the street. By the time I got home, I had, God rest her soul, Miss Philomena. I had Miss Jenny. I had Miss Odessa. I had Miss Marguerite. By the time I got home, they had told me that, you know, your mother taught you better than this. And when I got home, you knew the consequences of your actions. It was like, tomorrow you're not going to be able to take your little nickel and go down to the corner store. And I'm telling my age, because I said, take a nickel to the store and think you're going to get a soda and some candy. You know, you're not going to be able to do that.
Right.
I think today is, a lot of it is people resented the fact that we had that kind of upbringing. But the older I get, the more I appreciated the way I was brought up. And that we were taught to respect our elders. They looked out for us. Whether we realized it or not, they were looking out for us. Then, you know, the old ladies on the block knew who you had to be careful of.
Right.
You know, and at one point, my mother was working. My father worked all the time, but my mom started working too. And one of the neighbors made sure I had an older sister, that we got in the house okay. And, you know, we weren't allowed back out the door, you know, till my mom came home. And she would make sure, she would sit on her porch and make sure that we didn't come out that front door, which was our protection, you know. And it was only that my mom worked a job, and I think she got off, I guess what, we got out of school at 3 o'clock. We were home by 3:15, and my mother might have been home by 3:45. 4 o'clock at the latest. So we really weren't alone. A neighbor, you know, if she was giving us snacks, she'd knock on the door, leave a snack between the storm door and the front door. And we'd open the door and close the door, but we never had any interaction. She just knew that we were there and we got in okay.
I want to piggyback off of what DC asked, Mama Gina, because you just helped me to understand something about my grandmother raising me. Like, you know, they were looking out for us. I never used to understand why I had to only ride my bike from the end of the grass to the other end of the grass. I could not leave from in front of the house. But my question for you is, why do you think people outside of the family, like, say if you do have a single mom or a single dad that's working like 12-hour shifts just to provide for their child, or, you know, a grandmother or a grandfather who's stepping in to take care of the grandchild because, the parent is not stable enough, why isn't there anyone out in the community stepping up? You see that this, you know, the parent is gone, so this child is being unsupervised and they're getting peer pressure by other people and they're going down the wrong path. Why doesn't no one step up and say, hey, you know, let me refer you to this mentor program or something? Like preachers don't step up no more. Teachers don't go the extra mile. That's just my opinion. But why can you educate us on why that is now?
Wow. A lot of it is having seen some young mothers, young single mothers, and dealt with them at the school level. I'm not a teacher. I was a parent who was involved in school because that's what I got taught to do. Right. And a lot of them, you know, when people say that they're stepping up to help, people feel that they're being nosy, that they're only doing it to a point to make themselves look good. And I was fortunate that I had girlfriends who were part of my village who, when I wasn't able to do something, they could step in. And people kind of, everybody's into me and I and what can I get out of it? What does it do for mm-hmm. me? And not how it affects the we of it. And
that's true.
You know, and then you have some young ladies who are out here, and once they became a woman, quote unquote, because they had the child, they were put out and told, you better sink or swim. So in turn, they don't know how to teach their children because they weren't taught.
Right.
Some of them weren't taught. I have to say, some weren't taught, and some are just like, you know, well, I'm a kid myself. I think
true.
We as the adults in this situation and the ones who aren't necessarily part of the system but understand how it goes need to be a little bit more nurturing. You know, and sometimes it's more like, honey, don't talk to him like that. And yes, they'll cuss you out. And I'll be like, and well, yeah, I was okay. I'm going to tell him myself. I'd be like, sweetheart, you don't know who I am. I'm just telling you because this isn't the way. This isn't the way you do. And see, Miss Gina ain't always like this. Miss Gina can flip too, you know. So I'm telling you because I don't want to see you go down the same path I did. But, you know, I want your child, you and your child, to succeed. I want to see.
Right.
Philadelphia is a city of underdogs. Okay, we root for the underdogs.
Mm-hmm.
As a black woman, I want to see my sisters achieve.
Mm.
And if I can help you do that, I will. If I see that you really don't want the help, I'm probably still going to stick it in your teeth till I, so, you know, that's, I kind of like banging my head against the wall for a while.
Yeah, that helps me. Yeah.
You know, because I think it helps the kids to know when they see that somebody, when they're labeled in school as being the worst kid in the world, and somebody who isn't their parent walks into school and they run up to them and they hug them and they get a hug back. Mm. And that's not encouraged in schools anymore, okay?
Mm.
But to have the establishment look at and go, well, what's different about you? Why? Because I listen to this kid.
Right.
Because you have to understand that they emulate, and if they're used to scrounging on the street for what, to make sure that they have food in their stomach, and they're, you know, they're going to be like that for a minute.
Right, true.
Did I answer your question?
Yes,
you did.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even ask it, but I know you answered it for sure. I know you definitely answered it. But no, yeah, like you're absolutely right. And honestly, I feel like, you know, sometimes it's hard for teens or, you know, young adult parents to listen to, I hate to say the elderly, but, you know, the OGs or whatever that
mm-hmm.
basically been through it, or, you know, because
yeah.
I experienced a little bit of what I would like to call the neighborhood watch type of neighborhood, you know, like how you
okay.
were describing,
mm-hmm.
like, If you did something at the penny candy store, by the time you come back home, that belt already out because somebody done already told your mama what you done did. You
mm-hmm.
know what I mean? Because the story that I have, a really quick story. Me and my god brother, we were over at our barber's house, and he was pretty much cutting hair out of his house. And my god brother, he was one of them badass kids. And unfortunately, I basically got caught up in the middle of it. So basically what he did was that he was basically trying to get me to help him steal some PlayStation games from the barber.
Oh,
I didn't commend into that, but he ended up taking it. So by the time we got home, and I mean, he took them, so I mean, I was gonna play him too. So I mean, you know, it was what it was. Like he took them, and we had the crib. We playing. I guess we're gonna be playing there. And it wasn't no more than like 10, 15 minutes when he came right around that corner. You know what I'm saying? And you know, basically told my mom, was like, hey, I feel like, you know, they took some stuff out of my house. And sure enough, you know, she ended up finding out. And that was the day that I realized my mom was that strong, because she was able to pick me up by my throat and slam me to the ground. Ever so aggressively. And I was like, okay, that might be the last time I start messing around with y'all food. But I say that to say that, you know, the communication amongst the adults were more stronger, and they were more committed to, you know, trying to shape up the kids in the hood.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I feel like nowadays we don't have that. All we have is just chaos, and everybody got their phones out ready to record stuff. You know what I'm saying? That's the biggest problem. Right. That's the biggest problem. And, you know, it's too much of that, and not more of, you know, teaching and, you know, trying to mold these kids. Because if you let them run wild, then guess what? They're going to continue to be wild kids, you know? And they're not going to respect any elders, because it's like you allowed me to be the animal that I am today, so don't try to tame me now.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because,
but that's how I feel on that.
Look, to add to your story a little, my mom and dad used to, my dad was a truck driver. So if daddy pulled out his belt, it was, let me do the Three Stooges thing, go find the frying pan, stick it down in the back of my pants, so then when he hit me, I'm not going to cry. Which, in turn, made it worse. And then I knew I was a mom the day I was explaining something to somebody and my hand went by my child's face and she flinched. And I was like, yes, I am. But it was a healthy type of respect. The people that helped to raise us made sure that it wasn't abusive, because now they talk about if you take a belt to your child, you're being abusive.
Right.
It wasn't excessive. It was enough to sting your butt, so that the next time that you thought about doing that, you remember what that sting felt like, and you didn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
For me, and I was a single mother. Okay. I became one suddenly, and it was, oh, darn, I'm now a statistic. And how do I raise my children not to be who society is telling them who they are? I wanted them to be able to walk down the street and say, hi, Mr. Johnson. Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Hey, Ms. Smith, how you doing? You know, if they saw Ms. Smith struggling with a package, please help her up, help get it up on at least to her door.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And nowadays is, oh, you struggling with a package? Let me take it from you. I'm going to keep on going. Now, when you get home with that package, what's supposed to happen is, where you get the money you get that from? Because I know you didn't have that much money on you when you left. Take it back.
Right.
I remember one of the guys who was a hoodlum of the neighborhood, and he stole something from somebody around the corner. His mother literally grabbed him by the ear and walked him back up the street, gave the lady her what he stole, and she went in her wallet and gave her the money. And the lady was like, no, no, no. And she said, no. Because this means he don't get no money for the rest of the week. That's what I want him to understand. When you do that, you're taking somebody's money. So, that's what the village is supposed to be about. It doesn't have to be everybody being on top of each other. Oh, well, you know Johnny did so-and-so. You know so-and-so. It doesn't have to be that. It's just the caring enough that you don't want to see somebody get a record because they stole, oh Lord, how much is it nowadays? I don't even know. A dollar pack of gum.
Right.
You know, it's making them understand that when you take that dollar pack of gum, especially from a small mom and pop store, not saying that it's right to take it from the big store, but especially you're impacting their bottom line, which helps them to provide for their family, which helps them to provide for your family because you don't know if your mom got a tab at that store or not.
Right.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know, so. Yeah, and it is. It's different. And then to have somebody tell you that because you care that you're a sucker. No. You know, it's because I want, you might not get it now, but hopefully somewhere down the line it'll trigger and you'll get it.
Right.
That
right,
part.
Well, let me ask you my last question here. Can the child be morally conflicted with the village?
Yes. When you said that, it made me think. I think of somebody who is raised in specific religions. And at some point, they find out that not everything that they were told was either true or it didn't have to be as black and white as it. There are some gray areas. It coming up in a time when it was say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. And the people who taught you to have that pride turn around and they marry a white woman. And the other person that you thought a lot of married a white man and you go, they can do that? First off, it was just beginning to be legal. And when I think about it, I'm like, this in my lifetime for real. But right. It was, you know, and because we were taught that Caucasians didn't deal with us on that level. And then all of a sudden, it was okay. And then especially getting to know the white man, it was interesting because he was of Italian descent. So he understood that in the United States, there was a time when they weren't thought of as much more than being an animal either. Okay, mm-hmm. this I'm sorry, I'm kind of like on my soapbox on this one. But he as an individual taught me some things as in, I'm not going to say the love, but this, they're colorblind, but you learn, what you need to learn is how they deal with things to be effective. So, and he had to deal with his family not being pleased with who he chose to marry, but she was an educated black woman, okay? And the other person, she had to, but I wasn't really close with her. I was closer to him and his wife. And he was there. He taught about being a man, period. You know, it wasn't any color to it. You know, a man is there for his children. He's there for his mate. You do what you have to do to make things work.
Right.
This couple that I'm talking about was married for over 40 years until he died. Okay? And so for me, you know, I'm looking at it. Yes, you can be morally conflicted because I think that now with events of recent days that I understand the frustration of the people who were rioting and looting I might not agree with it, but that's where the conflict comes in. Because if you want to talk about it, I'm old enough to remember when Dr. King died, when he was assassinated. Let's not. You know, I remember when President Kennedy was assassinated. I remember when his brother was assassinated. And what it brought out, it did not bring out the best in a whole bunch of people. And for me, I saw a lot of the same thing. To see it as an adult and understand it, it triggered a lot of stuff from when I was a kid. And I was like, wow. What I found interesting, this go-round with the looting, was they didn't tend to run out with groceries. They ran out with things. Right. They didn't run out with stuff that they needed to sustain themselves. You know, and, you know, so there's a conflict in that. When I speak of conflict within religion, you know, people are taught that, well, this is Pride Month, that liking somebody other than what is socially acceptable, by the same token, the good book says that you love everybody. You know, if they just don't happen, you know, to fall into what we think is normal, you still love them and let them, you might not like what they do, but you love them as a person.
Right.
Did I answer that question?
Yes. Did she, DC?
Did I answer your question?
Yes, absolutely, yeah. Right on the money.
You know.
Okay.
Yeah, it's definitely well put.
Okay. Well, Mama Gina, thank you so much for shining light on that topic about what happened to the village. It is time for us to segue into shout-outs and appreciations. Since you are the guest, we'll let you go first. Is there anybody you want to shout out or tell that you appreciate right now?
Well, I am appreciative for your format and for you asking me to be on the show. I want to give a shout out to a couple who are younger, and they, I can't think of the word, they embody what being a village is about. The young lady, her name is Angela Morris. She is the founder and managing director of the Give Back Bank of Delaware. She also has a small business that she does catering. It's Signatures Catering by Angel. And her husband, his name is Jay. And he has, he does racial music. And the reason why I'm shouting them out is something. Not only are they about community, they happen to be my great niece, my great nephew, great grandnephew's godparents. And when my great niece was taken away from us tragically, they stepped up to the plate. And they know me just by Aunt Gina, and they've heard my name. But I want to give them a big shout out because they have three kids of their own. And in this day and age, they're right on target about being a village. I mean, they stepped up. They really have. And I appreciate them, and I want them to know that. And I really want you guys to know, I'm going to have an Angela Davis moment. That's what I call my radical side, okay? Because I want to... If I had my big bush wig on and had my hand up and say, more power to you, thank you for this. You guys are really positive. You have poignant features to your stuff. It's not just frivolous stuff, and I appreciate that. As a mama, I can sit back and smile and say, I know them too. I know them too. I'm there.
We appreciate that. Yeah. Much respect. Much respect.
And DC, I'm not telling you business, but you're a single father, right?
I am.
More power to you. Because I don't think single fathers get as much respect or support as they should. And those of us who are single mothers and not looking for a partner should be your backup. I'm just saying.
More power here. I ain't even like that. You know that? We share shit. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much, Mama Gina. Well, DC, I'm going to let you go with yours next, and I'll go last.
Oh, of course, as I'm trying to clear my throat and wipe my eyes, but we're going to go ahead and get this real quick. Shout out to Self Love Is My Rehab. Without Self Love Is My Rehab, I wouldn't be able to better myself on a daily basis. Shout out to God, because without him, there would be no DeMars, there would be no DC. Shout out to Dynamic Culture Apparel. That is my baby. My pride and joy is doing numbers. I'm loving it. I am grateful for it, and I'm just embracing it every single day. Everybody be on the lookout for my fall collection. I know I'm talking about it pretty early because it's like 90 degrees out here, but it's hot, literally. That's why I am letting y'all know right now. It's going to be something to look forward to. To keep yourself updated on that, follow me on IG at dynamic_culture_apparel. And you can simply follow me on Facebook under Dynamic Culture Apparel. And shout out to Positive Vibes, and shout out to people with negative energy and negative vibes, because at the end of the day, we still love you. We're just waiting for you to catch up, mustard. That's all I got.
Yes. Okay. Well, I'm going to say shout out to you for coming on, Mama Gina, and dropping heavy gems. You really helped me to understand, the village that raised me a lot better. I felt limited as a kid, but to grow up in those times, like you said, where you watched Martin Luther King, him die, John F. Kennedy, my grandmother lived in the 1940s, so I can only imagine so much you've seen, but you just helped me to understand, her better. So I thank you for that. Shout out to No Apologies. That book set the platform for Self Love Is My Rehab, Queens of Vibes and Visions, and it's also setting the platform for Out of Darkness, which is coming October 18th.
Yes, sir.
I'm just actually glad to say that I'm on the roll with it. I don't have no writer's block. I think I just had to have a talk with myself about what I'm not being honest with. And once I was able to tell myself the truth, I was able to go. Shout out to God, because without him, there is no me. And shout out to just, new beginnings. So, yeah, that's all I got. All right. So now we're about to segue into Stimulate Your Mind. Mama Gina, are you ready to get your mind stimulated?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, DC, drop it.
Stimulate that mind, Kareem.
All right. So the Stimulate Your Mind question this week is, why is it when someone corrects us, we feel like they are insulting our intelligence? So, Mama Gina, we're going to let you answer first since you're the guest.
That's a wow question. I like to think that when somebody is, that they correct me, that I can truly take it and go back without feeling like, well, she think I'm stupid. But and I think it comes from, for me, a place of there were times when my self-esteem wasn't where it should have been. And you really did think I was stupid. I like to sit back and learn. So when somebody says something and they're correcting me, and my first thought is, what? Are you for real? I go, you know what? And some of my village will tell me, you know, you're a little too easy to backpedal off of stuff. I said, no, I have to take in, because if I've asked for the criticism, if I've asked you what can I do better and you tell me, then that's on me. If you're coming from the right place and you're telling me, well, look, this is so and so, I'm hoping that you're older than me. No, but then again, young people have a lot to offer. You guys see things differently, and it'll be okay, you know. And I just say, you know what? You got to humble yourself in order to take it. Mm-hmm. And that's what you got to do. And that's
okay.
That's what I try to do. It don't work sometimes, but it's all okay.
Yeah, sure.
At least you try. That's a good thing.
Right. I totally agree on your statement. I feel like people do have to humble themselves, because at the end of the day, I mean, especially if you're coming for the advice, you know, type of thing. Like if you're coming to somebody for some sort of statement or I guess some sort of judgment, you have to be humble and strong enough to, you know, take what is being said. To a certain degree, of course, you know, because you don't want to just, you know, consume an insult and just be okay with that. Like, you know, that's not the case. But I feel like it does stem to, you know, to where like you will, you know, quickly just become insulted by whatever comes your way, because that may have been something that you've been, you know, that's been consistent, you know, in your past, you know, to the point where it's like, okay, you're convinced that, okay, I do be saying some stupid stuff, you know what I'm saying? Or I do, you know, I do suddenly just feel like a person that, you know, that I'm not worthy of being, you know, intellectual, you know what I'm saying? Because those situations can knock a person's confidence down, you know? So in order for, I guess, for a person to, you know, feel less of that, you know, they immediately become defensive, you know, by any means. You know, and that's, you know, and that's just defending themselves, you know, just from feeling that way. Because I think that's where most mean people come from. You know, a lot of people say, oh, I'm just naturally mean and you just going to have to deal with it. No, that's not the case. Like, you just, you know, you just basically guarding your emotions, you know, so that way people could be standoffish as to how they, you know, react or, you know, come at you a certain way. Because I know that's how it was for me. Like, in order for people not to talk about me in high school or in middle school or whatsoever, I would walk around with a mean face. Like, I had people tell me not too long ago, like, you know, like, you seem really cool, but back then you look like if I said hi to you, you'd punch me straight in the throat. I'm like, well, hey, that was the only way I was able to, you know, avoid the humiliation and everything like that. I had to walk around like a badass. You know what I'm saying? So it was, that was my way of dodging that bullet. But,
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I have an acquaintance. I'm sorry. Who I've known since I was in third grade. And he just now told me that he was scared of me the whole time we went to school.
Oh,
and I was, you know, so it, and that was my way of keeping people from being able to say, you know, it was like, okay, you think I'm going to beat you up? I'm not.
Right.
I'll listen to you, but I want you to think about what you're going to say to me first.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
No, the reason why I brought this question into the platform is because a situation happened earlier this week where the system at my job wasn't working, and I was too busy to make a phone call because they have you on hold for like 30 minutes. So I sent an email to my team saying, hey, does anybody have the email address? Because the one I sent came back saying it wasn't the right one. And the girl, we have this thing called Snipping Tool. It's like a screenshot for computers. She had screenshotted, you know, the front of the page, the front page of the system when you first log in. And, you know, she had replied all. And she was like, FYI, any information you need to know about the technology page is on this page. Now, the old me, someone who wasn't confident within myself, would have snapped and got defensive, like, oh, so you're trying to make me look stupid? Why didn't you reply, you know, separately? Like, why did you have to make such a grand gesture to show me that I was an ass and I missed that? Then I had to think about it, like, okay, Tasha, calm down, you know what I'm saying? Maybe she sent that and she replied all because maybe somebody else didn't know that because you didn't know it. So I think that when, like, me humbling myself and not letting myself get defensive or take things personally, I was able to think, you know, on a more logic standpoint and not let my emotions run with it. So that's why I was like, let me just ask that question, because I was the person who used to get defensive when someone would try to correct me, because I would always take it as a personal attack to my character. So thank you, too, for answering that.
Can I say also, it also depends on, because, I mean, we tend to, no, I'm saying, because, like, we tend to be that way because that's the consistent outcome of every situation. That's how we tend to be the way we are, and we can't humble ourselves and think of people differently until they react differently. If you continue to react the same way as, you know, as past situations, then you're going to 9 times out of 10 be that same statistic, you know, until you show me a different reaction. That's how I feel on that.
Okay, well, that being said, can you close us out with the dynamic quote of the week?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is the closed caption of the show tonight. Hopefully you all enjoyed, because it was good. It was great. It was wonderful. But the quote that I have for you guys this evening, the dynamic quote is, staying in a relationship just because you love somebody is not worth it. Love is not all you need. Respect is what you need. Time is what you need. A best friend is what you need. Knowing every day you're their favorite person is what you need. And if you understand what love is about, it's everything that's described in that quote. Don't let nobody sell you short of anything other than that, if that's what their intentions are. And that is the quote for the evening, ladies and gentlemen. And with that being said, peace and love, and we out. Be blessed.
Peace and love.
Peace and love.